We are starting a new series today, and it is by far, I think, the most important and basics of Christian living. Many times we focus on many things that we want to really learn about, mysterious things, mystery and all that, but I think it's very important for us to get back to basics. And this particular series is going to focus primarily on the basics of Christian living. And the name of the series is Grow Up. Grow Up. You see that? You, how it's going up? Hashtag, you know, especially the newer generation, they know well. Older generation, you might wonder, what is that? What is that pound that is ahead of it? But I'm not going to explain what it is, but you can just focus on the word grow up. Grow up. And we are this particular verse is taken from Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. It's interesting to note that we are having Bible study on the book of Ephesians. And I'm sure it is not a coincidence that we are meditating on the same verse for a Sunday service also. God has his plan for us to learn something important from his word. So as it says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, shall we all read this together, please? But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. I picked it up from KJV. Grow up into him in all things. In all things, grow up into him. And the book of Ephesians, Paul the Apostle wrote it. Even in it's recorded in Acts chapter 20. Where he gives a farewell speech to the believers and elders at Ephesus. And I took it as an accountability statement also in terms of being able to make sure that our local church, just like the Ephesian church, should grow up into him in all things, because we'll never know what kind of situations and we all go through in our personal lives. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 says, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among yourselves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. It is a warning, which I took it personally from the Lord. And also this was specifically spoken to the believers at Ephesus. And later when he wrote the letter to the Ephesians also, in Ephesians chapter 4, we are going to meditate on it during the Bible study. But he tells about the various spiritual gifts that are given. In chapter 4 and verse 11, he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints. And then he says, verse 14, as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried out by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all things in Christ Jesus, who is the head. So with that, let us ask the Lord for his guidance as we start this new series. Gracious Father, loving God, strengthen us, speak to us through your living word, though they seem to be very basic. Though there seem to be very well-known verses that we are going to look at today, speak to us afresh, Lord. Lord, those of us who know you, help us, Father, to be reminded of it and be thankful to you. But those who do not know you, may the Spirit of the living God, through his word, speak to them as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Spiritual growth. This particular grow up, in other words, if you really want to understand, another term that we can give is spiritual growth. A lot of times we have a question, please pray for my spiritual growth. Request, please pray. Doesn't matter how old you are in having known Christ Jesus, you might have come across yourself asking someone, or you yourself have heard somebody say this, please pray for my spiritual growth. And I think it's very essential for us to focus our attention upon this Grow Up series to know what it means to have a spiritual growth in our lives. Spiritual growth or growth, there is no growth without birth. Remember that. Many times we may be misled. We think that the growth is very important. But let me share with you, without birth, there is no growth. As simple as that. So if there is a concern in terms of spiritual growth, first of all, the basic thing that you and I need to recognize is, was there a spiritual birth? If there was no spiritual birth, you cannot expect spiritual growth. You cannot expect, period. So that is the focus, our attention today. Today's sermon, I thought this is the right step to take before even getting into spiritual growth. The basic part is spiritual birth. Right? Don't you agree? Spiritual birth is the most essential element of this. And let us read the key verse for today's sermon, taken from 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. All together, please, shall we read it first in English as it is projected here? Then you can fill in the blanks. Shall we all read this loudly and clearly, please? Thank you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Let us read the same one in another language, in a Telugu language. Shall we all read this together, please? Mrutulalo nundi Yesu Christu tirigi lechuta valana jeevamato koodina nirikshana manaku kalugunatlu anaga akshayamainadiyu nirmalamainadiyu vaadabarendadaina swasthyam manaku kalugunatlu ayana tana vishesha kanikaramu choppuna manalanu marala janminpa chesenu. In the Urdu language, हमारे खुदावंद यीशु मसीह के खुदा और बाप की हम्द हो जिसने यीशु मसीह के मुर्दों में से जी उठने के बायस अपनी बारी रहमत से हमें जिंदा उम्मीद के लिए नए सिरे से पैदा किया. I hope you understand at least one of these languages or all the languages. But I wish we could read it in other languages also. We have people with Tamil background, with Kannada background also. Hopefully, God willing, we can read that, or I may ask you to read if you have such kind of language Bibles with you. A group of terrorists visiting a picturesque village walked by an old man sitting beside a fence. In a rather patronizing way, one tourist asked him, "Were any great men born in this village?" This was a question the tourist asked. "Were any great men born in this village?" The old man replied, "Nope, only babies." I hope you got it. Babies are born. At a later point of time, they grow up and become great men. Great men are not born in this village. Only babies are born in this village. Certain times, we tend to focus on the last point without focusing on the starting point as such. Grow up, and that requires birth. When a child is born, we expect the child to grow up. We had recently some children born in our church as well, different almost every year or so. And we've been seeing these children grow up. As these children are growing up, we know one thing: because they were born, we expect those children to be growing. So birth is essential for growth. That is what I want to focus our attention upon today in today's sermon. Just as physical growth requires physical birth, spiritual growth requires spiritual birth. There are different terminologies that are used in the scriptures. One such term is born again. Some people tend to think that this is a denominational word that is used. No. It is biblical terminology, born again. There are other words also that are used, which we are going to meditate upon. Today, I'm going to keep giving a lot of references. These are basic references. I would request you to note down those references. It's difficult for me to put everything on the screen. So there is a lot of space below the sheet as well as when you turn over the sheet as well. So along with the bullet points, there are certain specific things that I'm going to share in terms of references, which I'm going to ask our dear brother to project it. I want each one of us to read God's word, see God's word, read God's word, let God's word speak to us. Today's focus of our attention is primarily taken from John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Very basic. You must have heard this story n number of times. This is a story where there was a conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. Nicodemus, Nicodemus means victory. I don't know how much he had, but Nike means victory. That's how the word Nicodemus has come. I don't know how much he was victorious in his personal life, that he had a lot of burden in his heart, and one night he comes and has a conversation with Jesus Christ. Jesus, knowing his heart. Let us read verse 3 altogether, please, as it is projected. Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." If you have other translations, it might use "verily, verily," or in other words, "amen, amen." Did you know that? The Greek word is "amen, amen." You might think, "Oh, what is amen?" Amen means faithful saying. When somebody ends with saying "amen," it means yes, it's a faithful thing. It's a faithful ending. Amen, amen. Or "verily, verily," or "truly, truly, I say unto you." Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Important statement. Please note it down in your sermon notes, the top box. Born again, in parenthesis, from above. Born again, or from above. If you have some kind of a concordance Bibles or study Bibles, you may have a footnote which tells for the word "again" is also from above. Anothen is a Greek word that is used. It can mean again or anew or newly or from above. From above. I was just trying to understand this particular word, and John chapter 3 and verse 31, where it mentions saying about Jesus Christ, John 3:31, it says, "He who comes from above is above all." It's the same word that is used, anathen. Same word, born again, the word "again," anathen. "He who comes from above," anathen. In English, it is translated as "again" and "above." So they are interchangeably used. So the clear understanding about born again is born from above. Something higher. And that is what Jesus Christ is saying. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Again, there's another word, "see." The word "eido" means to see or to perceive or to understand or to have your real eyes open. A lot of times we don't understand what it means, what kingdom of God means. Jesus Christ is saying, unless you're born again, you cannot understand the kingdom of God. As simple as that. There are many people in this world who are blinded. Those who do not understand what it means by the kingdom of God. The presence of God. And the holiness of God. And the eternity with God. That is what he is expecting us to be able to understand as well. Unless one is born again. The same verse is also repeated in verse 7. Verse 7, John 3, 7. "Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again." Must be born again. Somebody please read it in any other language. Verse 7 of John chapter 3. Ascharya padavaddu, don't get surprised. You have to be born anew, or born from above, or born again. You must be. That is what Jesus is saying. Do not be amazed. And as part of this understanding about born again experience, there are certain verses that I want us to be able to focus upon. This born again, I just want to share with you that there is a physical birth and spiritual birth. By birth, physical birth, we are spiritually dead. Listen to this carefully. When we are physically born into this world, because of the nature of sin that has been going on and on from generation to generation, our spirits are dead. And Jesus wants us to have us to be spiritually alive. So the first thing that you want to note down in that particular born again is death to life. Note it down. Death to life. What is this death? Some important verses that I want to share with you. As it is projected, you can note down the references. Please read the verses aloud with me all together. Psalm chapter 51 and verse 5. Psalm chapter 51 and verse 5. As it is projected, let us read this together. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. So one thing that you and I need to understand is that by conception itself, forget about birth, we are by nature sinners. Sinners, because of the sin that was committed long time ago during Adam and Eve's time, that passed on from generation to generation, by nature, not just by action, by nature we are sinners. Psalm 51 and verse 5. And because of the sin, there is a separation between us and God. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2. Please read it along with me. And you can note down the reference as well. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Your iniquities have made a separation between you and God. That is also called death. The word death can also mean separation. Death means separation. And because of the sinful nature that you and I are born in, that sins have separated us from God. There has become a chasm or a big valley that is in between us and God. It has separated us. There is no more fellowship between God and man, which existed in the book of Genesis, the first few chapters, where there was a wonderful fellowship that God had with Adam and Eve. Because of the sin, there was separation. In other words, death. That is what it is. And that separation is also called death. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Very well known verses. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. It says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Remember, doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter in which family you're born in. Doesn't matter whether you're born in a Christian family or a Hindu family or a Muslim family or a Jewish family. Doesn't matter. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is a shortness that we cannot be able to have the communion with God because of the sinful nature. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 is a related verse to it. Because all have sinned, the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. Shall we all read this together, please? The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death. The death that is the cause or the result of the sinful nature that you are and I are in, and the sinful things that we've been doing after we are born in this world as well. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus Christ wants to give us life. What kind of life is it? Spiritual life. And for that spiritual life, it is also called spiritual birth. Spiritual life comes through spiritual birth. And life is important. If there is no life, there is death. And there is no death, there is no birth. And that is very important for us to recognize that only through Jesus Christ there is eternal life that he gives us, where our spirits are brought to life. Last week, probably in the Bible study, we have meditated on Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. It says we were dead in our sins and trespasses. Even today morning also we meditated upon it. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. If you read in KJV, it says you became alive when you were dead in your sins and trespasses. He hath quickened you who were dead in trespasses and sins. Quickened means he made you alive. So these are the references I want us to focus upon. And we have read 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 also. Just for a quick reference, I want to share with you about that verse again. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, which is in your sermon notes. It says, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again. Can you be born physically by yourself? No. Same is the case. You cannot be born again by yourself too. There should be someone who has initiated that. And that is God himself. According to his great mercy, the mercy that he has showered upon us, because of our sinful nature, we are bound to death. But he has pardoned us by being able to allow us to have the experience of born again. How? To be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus Christ has come into this world in order to give us the gift of eternal life. Resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That means Jesus died, he rose again from the dead, so that you may be born again and have a living hope. Remember that. When the wages of sin is death, Jesus Christ took that debt upon him so that you may be born again. Very important. It's very important for us to recognize the importance of born again. If I ask you this question, are you born again? What is your answer? Do you feel offended? Do you feel confused? Probably you don't know. Or you are thinking that you know something. I hope by the end of the sermon, you are clear whether you are born again or not. May the Spirit of the Lord work in you to know whether you're born again or not. It's very important for us. Otherwise, we can't keep beating around the bush in terms of knowing what is going on. You may be doing many things without focusing on the central, essential element of being born again. Death to life. There's another way to be able to look at it, which is darkness to light. Darkness to light. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. As you note down the second point, darkness to light, let us read Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27 all together, please. These are some of the important verses you can note down or read along with me. Please read. The spirit of man is a lamp of the Lord, searching all the innermost parts of his being. Spirit of man. Remember, man is made up of body, soul, and spirit. Spirit of man, God, when he created all the created things, there was something unique that he did in terms of man, that he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul or a living spirit. But because of the sinful nature, that spirit became dead. But the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. But when a person is born into this world, that lamp is there, but it is not lighted. It's like a candle, it says in KJV, it says candle of the Lord. God wants that spirit of man, which is the candle of the Lord, to be lighted. When we are born in this world, we are spiritually dead. That means darkness. That candle of the Lord is not lighted. If you remember the series that we have meditated upon, Kindle the Fire, we have meditated upon this very detailed as to what it means to understand this candle. Psalm chapter 18, verse 28, something related to that. Psalm chapter 18, verse 28. Shall we read this together, please? Psalm chapter 18, verse 28. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Who will light my candle? It's not that somebody else will light my candle. It is not that I will take my own matchstick and light my candle. I cannot do it by my own works. Who can light my candle? You, O Lord, you will light my lamp. Or you will light my candle, in other words, in the KJV. You will light my candle. The Lord is the one who will light my... Please read it in any other language. Psalm chapter 18, verse 28. నా దీపమును వెలిగించువాడు. నౌ యూ అండర్స్టాండ్ వి సింగ్ సాంగ్స్ రైట్ యెహోవా నా బలమా నా దీపమును వెలిగించువాడు. ఎస్ ఇట్స్ అ వెల్ నోన్ వర్డ్స్ బట్ వాట్ ఈస్ దిస్ దీపము? ఇట్ ఈస్ యువర్ స్పిరిట్. ఇట్స్ యువర్ స్పిరిట్ అండ్ మై స్పిరిట్ దట్ గాడ్ వాంట్స్ టు లైట్ ఆర్ హీ వాంట్స్ టు బ్రింగ్ ఫోర్త్ లైట్ ఇన్ టు అవర్ లైఫ్. దట్ ఈస్ ద బోర్న్ అగైన్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్. హీ వాంట్స్ టు బ్రింగ్ ఫోర్త్ లైట్ in the darkness, from darkness to light. You know that familiar verse from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Shall we all read this together, please? It says, "For you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood," please read, "a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light? That is what born again experience is, in other words. I was dark. I was in the dark. My spirit was darkened. It is not lighted. But God, he came and lighted my lamp, and he brought me light, and he gave me life. And that is what the born again experience is. You and I are born in sin. The only way in which we can come out of that sinful nature is through Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Let's go back to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Now let's go to the second section. First one was born again. I think we have really dealt with what exactly it means to be born again. Secondly, let us see in verse 5. John chapter 3 and verse 5. Shall we all read this together, please? Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Any other language, please? Verse 5. First is to see the kingdom of God. Verse 3. Verse 5, enter into the kingdom of God. Or in other words, understanding it and also to have an entrance. If you remember the last week's sermon also, the rich young ruler, he said, "What can I do to inherit life?" And unless you be like a child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. An earlier passage also Jesus tells. So here it says two aspects. So please note it down in the heading, born of water and spirit. Born of water and spirit, John chapter 3 and verse 5. I hope it's clear for you. First is born again or born from above. Second is born of water and the spirit. What is this water and the spirit? Lot of interpretations happen to this. Probably you must have heard a number of interpretations on this. Some people say water could be amniotic fluid, which probably I'm not sure if that is the right definition of that saying physical birth. Unless and until one is born physically and spiritually, they cannot enter into the kingdom of God. No. Some say water baptism. I don't think so too, because it is more of an external expression of an internal experience. But what is this water and the spirit? You need to be born of water and the spirit. And that is what you and I need to understand here as to what it is. First of all, please note it down. Word of God, or God's word. Word of God. Word of God is a representation of water. If you see some scriptural portions I want us to look at, Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. Let's read this together, please. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bare and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire. Here he is comparing the word of God with water or rain and snow. There are other scriptural portions also that talk about the word of God that is essential in terms of washing us and making us pure in the sight of God. The washing of the waters. And even word of God is essential for somebody to be born again also. I want us to look at that first, because the focus is on the word of God. That is why I'm asking each one of us to read God's word, not my words. I want you to read God's word and make God speak to you. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Okay, let's read this together. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and enduring word of God. Here the word seed is used. For the birth of a plant, you need a seed. Just like spiritual birth we are talking about, there are two ways of relating spiritual growth. One, taking a seed and a plant and to a tree, or a spiritual birth comparing with a physical birth and trying to relate to how a human being grows that we can compare to. Here, he is comparing with a seed. The seed which is an imperishable seed. Seed, whether you call it from a plant perspective or whether we call it from a human being's being born again perspective, the word of God is the one that is the source for spiritual birth. It's very important. You have been born again, not of the seed. So we should be able to recognize what is the cause for you to be born again. What made you to be born again? What enabled you to experience the born again experience or the spiritual birth in your life? It is through the word of God. God's word is the one that should enable you to have that experience. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. Let's read this as it is projected. So he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Washing of water with the word. It's very essential for us to be able to recognize the importance of the word of God that enables us to have the experience of washing of water. The water, being born of water and the Spirit. Let us look at the second aspect in our thing. The washing by the Spirit. What is it? What is this washing by the Spirit? Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Born of the Spirit. Born again experience is one. But how are you being born again? It is through the word of God and the Spirit of God. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 altogether, please. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. By the way, this word, another word has come, saved us. He saved us from an eternal damnation. Eternal death, he has brought us into life. That is born again experience. That is another word for salvation. Some people ask, are you saved? What does it mean? Are you born again, in other words? He saved us. Jesus Christ has come into this world to save us from the destruction of the sinful nature that we are in. And it's not because of the works that we do, not because of the basis of deeds which we have done, but according to his mercy, the mercy of Jesus Christ. Mercy means being pardoned for the punishment that we are bound to get. Being pardoned, he's saying that I won't let you go through this punishment anymore because I'm going to come down into this world and take up that punishment for your sake. By the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. It is all the internal work, my dear. Nothing talked about external. The word of God going into us and making a difference in our lives. The Spirit of God, He is washing, He is regenerating us and renewing us. That is what Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 says. I hope you understand this. The Spirit of God is the one that should work in you. If not for the Spirit of God, you cannot call it spiritual birth. What is spiritual birth without the Holy Spirit of God? We all are made spiritual beings. Jesus Christ has come into this world in order to enlighten that spirit in us. And He has done that by washing of regeneration and renewing. He's cleansing us from all our sins. He's cleansing us. The Word of God has become flesh and dwelt among us. And that Word of God, He has died for us on the cross, and through His blood that was shed for us on the cross of Calvary, there is remission of sins. He has died for us on the cross of Calvary. And third and the final thing, let's note it down. Born of the flesh versus spirit. Let's read that from John chapter 3, verse 6. John 3, 6. All together, please. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. I'm just sharing with you the few words that Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, just divided into three sections, that's all. First, Jesus said, you must be born again. Second, Jesus said, you must be born of the water and the spirit. Third, Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And then in verse 8, he says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from, where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. How you are born again? God only is doing that in you. You cannot say, this way God is going to make me born again. No. God is going to do wondrous thing in our lives in such a manner that it becomes a marvelous thing. You don't know how He works in our hearts and our spirits. And He says that you need to be born of the Spirit. We sang the song. Born of the Spirit, life from above. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Born of the Spirit, life from above. God is expecting us to be born of the Spirit. That is what spiritual birth is, in other words. If you are born of the Spirit, that is what makes us to be born spiritually. John chapter 1, verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Shall we all read this together? John 1, 12 and 13. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It is by God's will that He wants us. It is God's will. Only by God's will a person can be born again. And that is what it says here. So note it down in your point. It is the born of flesh versus spirit is will of man versus God. It is not out of human will. That's what it says in John 1:13. Who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So there's always a struggle that happens between flesh and the spirit. The Bible says that you need to believe in Jesus Christ. You need to receive Him because He's the one who has come into this world and died for you. The Bible says if you repent of your sins, knowing that we are born sinners, there is no way in which we can come out of our sinful nature by our own deeds. But it is only through Jesus Christ who came into this world to die for us. So the last point that you can note down is the struggle within. Born of flesh, born of spirit. The struggle within. How do I know that I'm born again? How do you know that you're born again? if there is a struggle in you where there is a fight between flesh and the spirit, if you are not having that experience at all, if you are not convicted of the things that you have been committing, immediately alarm will go off and you will say, Lord, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Because of the Holy Spirit of God in me, He is reminding me of it to make sure that I don't commit it again. That is a work of the Holy Spirit. If there is no born of the Spirit, only born of the flesh, you keep killing your conscience. But God enables us to go through this flesh and spirit experience, which we're going to meditate at a later point of time. But I want to share with you one verse today from Galatians chapter 4. It sounded interesting. While the context of it is primarily focused upon the law and the grace, but there is something that you and I can be able to learn from Galatians chapter 4 and verse 29. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 29. Shall we all read this together, please? But as at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, so it is now also. There is a struggle that is happening between flesh and the spirit. Though in this particular one, it is also talked about Ishmael and Isaac and how there was a fight between both of them. But here he says, so it is also now. It is now also. There is a fight that is going on. A lot of times in terms of law and grace, yes, no doubt about it. And also the flesh and the spirit. That's what here he says. The fight between flesh and the spirit. Do this, don't do this. Do this, don't this. Let's go to the church on time. No, that's okay. We can go late. Or we have to read God's word. That's okay. Let's go and sleep now. I want to pray. No. I have to other things to do. There is a fight between flesh and the spirit. That is what is going on in our lives. We keep struggling with it, but we keep asking, Lord, God, give me strength to be able to overcome this. A spiritually born again person will have that clear understanding and of the fact of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in that person. If you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, that is what spiritual birth experience is. If you do not have it, I think the time has come for us to be able to really see, question yourself, am I spiritually born? How do I know that I'm spiritually born? Have I recognized that I'm a sinner and I needed a Savior, Jesus Christ, who had come into this world to take up that punishment of sin on the cross of Calvary? All I needed to do was to trust Him, to believe in the God who came down into this world for my sake, who shed His precious blood on the cross of Calvary. And the Bible says, repent of your sins and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit of God in you is the start of a spiritual birth. I'm not asking when you were born again. A lot of people have this struggle. They say, I don't remember when I was born again. Similarly, a lot of people, physically also, they don't know when they were born. Some say, there was a big flood, a big earthquake that has happened, or so-and-so was born. After a few months after that, so-and-so was born, I was born. That's what my parents told. And so that's how they figure out and create a birth certificate saying, okay, so-and-so was born on that day. That doesn't mean that person is not born. Just because they don't remember the day when they were born again doesn't mean that they are not born. Their life should reflect it. But there was a time, remember, the fact that there is a day of spiritual birth. Whether you remember it or not, it will be great if you can remember. Because just like physical birth, there is a date. It is not a process. It might take some time for labor, but there is a birth. When were you born? This so-and-so date, time, and minutes, and seconds, if put. It is that sudden aspect. It could take time, I'm not saying that. But the birth experience need to be there in order to be able to see the growth experience. That's what I want to share today very clearly. And I hope you recognize that importance of having the spiritual birth. You must be born again. There is no other alternative in order to be able to experience the eternal life with God. In the same chapter, John chapter 3, Jesus makes a wonderful mention, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Not death, not perishing, but eternal life. You and I need to have that. And that eternal life starts at spiritual birth. Remember that. Has it started in your life? Do you know if you're born again? Are you still struggling? It's important for us to be clear as to whether we have spiritual life or whether we are spiritually born again or not. So I just want to make a small question towards the end. Are you born again? What is your answer? It's not too late if you're not. It's the best time to be able to recognize the fact that Jesus came down into this world to die for me. My spirit was dead. Now, through Jesus Christ, he can enlighten me and give me spiritual life. With a repentant heart, recognizing that we are sinners and that there's no way in which we can achieve eternal life other than through Jesus Christ, who is the only way, the truth, and the life, we can experience that born-again life. Your life will be different. You will not be the same again. You will not be the same again, let me tell you. It may take time for you to grow, but it has started. Maybe you're saying, oh, I was born again 20 years ago, brother, 30 years ago, brother, 40 years ago, brother. We are going to meditate on that going forward for the next few weeks, God willing, as to what it means to have spiritual growth. But this is the basic element of spiritual birth that is essential. And I hope we all have that experience. Everyone have that personal experience of spiritual birth. I'm not talking about whether you're born in a Christian family. There is no difference being born in a Christian family or a Hindu family or a Muslim family or a Jewish family. It is about being born in God's family. And that happens through spiritual birth. May the Lord bless this word.